Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. So really quickly, going to pull up for our Facebook people. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. So today, alhamdulillah, we are back live with our session of the 5 series, which we are so happy to be able to bring to you guys on a weekly basis, alhamdulillah. We're really grateful that everyone's able to join us on a weekly basis here at Roots, discussing the pillars of Islam, discussing the elements and aspects of faith, and making it just very practical for all of us and making it extremely relevant for all of us. And today, alhamdulillah, we have one of the, if not the most intriguing topic that a lot of people kind of are interested in discussing and learning about. And that is the reality of the jinn and shaitan. You know, there are a lot of elements of the unseen when it comes to our religion, right? There's Allah Ta'ala himself, right? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is unseen. He is a part of the realm of the unseen. Another element of the realm of the unseen are what we talked about last week, the angels. The angels of God, the Malaika, also cannot be seen visually with our human eyes. But it always happens to be this creation of jinn and shayateen that intrigue the interest of most people. And why is that? You know, there's several theories. You know, maybe it's because it's always talked about in culturally referenced moments, or it's talked about a lot in terms of, you know, it's made kind of like the scary topic in Islam. Oh, the jinn, the devils, the demons. So, and unfortunately, you know, entertainment and media has kind of taken it and ran with it, into this kind of like horror genre where, like, you know, this idea of the jinn are used to kind of scare people. It's like used as a scare tactic. And a lot of us, I mean, to be quite honest with you, have been roped into it, right? Like, we love watching scary movies. We love watching things that are spine chilling and bone tingling, right? And so we today in our session are actually going to be talking about the reality of the jinn. What our jinn, you know, what is that creation? What are they supposed to do? And what is the reality of shaitan himself? Because all of these creations of Allah are real, right? It's encompassed in our belief of the what we call the belief in the unseen. And so today, inshallah, we're going to take a little look at that. So the first thing we want to talk about is, I want to ask everybody on the live stream right now, on Instagram and on Facebook, if we were to, you know, answer this question, what would our answer be? What is the goal? What is the goal of shaitan or the devil in your opinion? Okay, because obviously we know there's good and evil. So if you were to categorize shaitan's goal, or if you were to answer what is shaitan's goal as a creation, what is his goal as the devil, what would his goal or objective be? And we're going to, inshallah, as the conversation continues to go throughout the night, we're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, a little bit of the narrations from the Quran itself and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talk about his goal. But in our opinion, what is the goal of shaitan? What is he supposed to do? Because we in Islam believe that everything on earth is on here for a reason, right? Or everything in our lives is in our lives for a reason. So, you know, Allah obviously is the all omniscient deity, the creator of everything. We have the Malaika we talked about last week, who have a specific purpose as well. The messengers and the prophets came with a purpose. The books of Allah came with a purpose. We as human beings are here with a purpose. So what is the purpose of shaitan? Right? He must have a purpose. Shaitan did not just like randomly appear into existence without any sort of objective or goal. There must be a reason to why shaitan is a part of our world. Okay. So I want everyone to reflect on that a little bit today, inshallah. So what is the purpose of shaitan? So if you could comment down on the bottom of your screen, there's a comment section right over here, according to my screen, actually. I don't know if it's real. But what is your opinion about what the goal or what the purpose of shaitan is in our lives or in this world? So somebody says, Serene says, to lead mankind the opposite way of God. Okay, very good. that's a very, very, you know, very good general kind of role that he has to kind of lead mankind the opposite way of God. Everything that we want to do in terms of our fitrah, our goal of getting closer to Allah, shaitan is like the antithesis of that. He wants us to get away from it. He wants us to get as far as possible from it. Somebody else says to take us away from God. Very good, very good. So these are kind of like some of the answers that I want everyone to kind of really reflect about and think about. What does it mean to get further away from God, right? Does he just do it randomly? Or is there an actual method that he uses in order to get us further and further away from Allah to the point where we, at the end of the day, may not even acknowledge Allah's existence? Hannah says to misguide sin to stop doing good deeds. Okay, very, very good. Very, very good. So let's talk about this today, inshallah. So the first thing about the jinn, the realm of the jinn, is we have to identify their purpose, right? What are the jinn? Well, the jinn, just like human beings and angels, are creations of Allah. That's the first thing that we accept, is that jinn and angels and human beings, animals, plants, you know, whatever you want to call it, are all creations of God. We have to admit this, okay? That's number one. We're all creations of God. Number two, being creations of God, we all have one very fundamental role, which is to worship. Ultimately, it's to worship, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran very, very blatantly, he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Okay, and he specifically mentions mankind and jinn, which is kind of interesting because the jinn and human being actually have more in common than, you know, the human being and the angels, okay? We are much more kind of closely aligned towards the jinn than we are towards the malaika, because the malaika at the end of the day are perfect. We talked about this last week, that the angels are created perfectly by Allah. They actually are so perfect that they don't have the tendency or even the ability to slip and fall. Okay, everything that they were meant to do, they were created to, they do it. All right, so the angels were created to literally worship Allah, to send messages to the prophets throughout time. They were sent to literally worship God nonstop, and that's what they do, right? There are actually specifically certain angels that all their job to do is to worship. That's it. But the jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have created mankind and jinn to worship me. That's it. That's all they're required to do, okay? So the human being and the jinn have one very common goal along with the angels, which is to worship Allah. But what's the difference here between the angels and the jinn is that the jinn have what we call free will, okay? The jinn have what we called, that is, free will. And just like we as human beings have free will, the jinn also have free will. They can choose to do right or wrong. They can choose to do good or bad. They can choose to do help or harm. The jinn have free will to do whatever they want. And the jinn also, just like us, have the ability to be gendered. You know, they can be either male or female. They can have families. They can have friends, companions. They are literally just a creation like us that is unseen, and they live in a different realm. Human beings are not meant to see jinn. You know, one of the meanings of the word jinn is, the meaning actually says that it's the unseen. It's hidden. Jinn literally means unseen. You are not supposed to see it from a human being's point of view. And so this is why, you know, a lot of us, when we're kind of like thinking about this, that, oh, don't human beings try to go and get involved with witchcraft and, you know, this and, you know, all these random practices and really weird kind of sihri stuff. Yeah, absolutely they do. But in Islam, that's prohibited because human beings are not supposed to be able to see the jinn. You're not supposed to try to communicate with them. You're not supposed to try to kind of bridge that gap, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in different realms, right? So the word jinn in and of itself means hidden or concealed. So the jinn we know are, you know, a lot like human beings, but they're just unseen. We cannot see them. They can see us, on the other hand, and they have some very unique abilities. They have some very unique abilities, and we'll talk about this in a second. The jinn, first and foremost, Allah ta'ala has given them extreme power in terms of their strength. Okay, jinn can lift, can move things that human beings cannot dream of doing. Okay, another kind of narration that's true of the jinn is that jinn can travel from point A to point B in a manner that human beings cannot travel in. Okay, for example, if I were to sit here in Dallas, Texas, and say, I want to, without an airplane or a car or, you know, a boat or a train or whatever you want to call it, make a trip out to London, England. Okay, London, England. I would probably not, first and foremost, not make it, because I can't make that trip without a facility of a boat or a plane or a ship or something. But the Jinn, number one, they can fly. Number two, they can go from point A to point B in a ridiculously short amount of time. And this is proven through narrations that, and through kind of credible, authentic, you know, narrations and situations that jinn are able to travel from long distances in a very, very quick amount of time. And this is just the power that Allah has given them. Okay, this is just the power Allah has given them. And one of the other narrations of the jinn is that, you know, we know that angels, we talked about this last week, who are made out of light, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this kind of divine light to create angels. And for human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over and over in the Quran that he has created us from this this material called clay or dirt. Allah says, min as-salsali kal-fakhar, right? Or he calls us ard or teen, right? You created us from clay or dirt or mud. And Prophet Adam alayhi salam was created from that, and so are we. The angels were created from light. So what are the jinn created from? What are the jinn created from? Narrations actually in the Quran testify that jinns are created from something called fire. Okay, they are created from something called fire. In Surah Rahman, actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates on this. He says, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. He says that, and he created the jinn from a smokeless flame. Okay, from a smokeless flame. Now, does that mean that jinn are created from the same fire that's you know, existing in your fireplace? Does that mean the jinn are also helping you cook biryani in your stove? Does that mean the jinn is like aiding like your cooking of your food in your oven? No. The fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the jinn are made out of is something that you cannot find on this earth. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَلَقَ الْجَنَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. That they are created from a smokeless fire. Actually, in Surah Al-Hijr, furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually elaborates and he says, وَجَنَّ خَلَقَنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ سَمْعُومٍ. Okay, مِنَ النَّارِ, سَمُومٍ, which basically means, and the jinn were created before from a scorching fire. They're an ancient creation. They long came before the creation of mankind, okay? And they are made from something called scorching, smokeless fire. It's not something that you can find on this earth. It's not possible for you to find it on this earth. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. And so the creation of jinn, a lot of the scholars, they say something that's really interesting, is that the jinn, because of their tendency of being created from fire, they have some very unique characteristic traits. Okay, they have some very unique characteristic traits that, you know, the pious people, the scholars, the ulama, they say that because the jinn are created from fire or smokeless fire, they have a tendency to think very highly of themselves. Okay, they have a tendency to think very highly of themselves. So one of the scholars actually that comment on this, they say that like fire, they assert their own reality and try to destroy the reality of others. SubhanAllah, it's like super poetic, that because they're created from fire, they have a tendency to assert their dominance over people, just like fire. You know, scholars of old are, mashallah, like extremely, extremely well-worded in their language. And they say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a very, very beautiful way of creating, you know, his creations. It's not like nonsensical. There's always meaning behind each and every element used to create a being, right? So when Allah created human beings from clay, ard, salsal kal-fakhar, right? Dirt, sand, mud, whatever you want to call it, human beings have a tendency of being very neutral, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right? Very neutral beings. You know, we can either be good or we can be bad. You know, we have that tendency of being very neutral. We're swayed sometimes, right? This is why, you know, your nafs is sometimes the toughest thing to ever battle in your life. But the jinn being created out of min an-nar, right? This fire, or should I say the smokeless fire, they have a tendency, the scholars say, to want to exert dominance over everything that comes to them. And just like human beings, in reality, guys, the jinn can also be good or evil, okay? The jinn can be good or evil. There are definitely Muslim jinn existing on this earth today. There are jinn that are classified as Muslims. And we'll talk about this in a little bit of a second, because there are some very strong narrations about jinn who have testified to becoming Muslim. They actually converted to Islam. All right, and we'll talk a few of the stories about that. And also we know of jinn that have gone very bad. just like human beings. There are human beings who went extremely, extremely downhill. And just like humans, there are jinn who also went extremely sour and extremely downhill. Now, who is the one that went the worst of their kind? The worst of their kind obviously happens to be a being by the name of Iblis. Okay? A being by the name of Iblis. Now, some very, very smaller, you know, kind of older narrations that are not as authentic, they say that Iblis's actual name was Azazil. Okay? That Iblis's actual name before he became Iblis or Shaitan, or we call him like the biggest or the greatest Shaitan, his name, some scholars say that his name was Azazil. And he obviously was an ancient creation of Allah. And Azazil or Iblis, he was so ancient that he was the first of his kind, almost like Adam, right? Adam alayhi salam, our forefather, the beginning of the human lineage, was obviously the first of our creation. There was no other creation like mankind before the coming of Prophet Adam. Just like that, there was no jinn before the creation of Iblis or Shaitan. He was the first one of his kind. He was the first one that was ever created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his category. And because of this, Iblis used to actually reside with the angels in paradise. Before the creation of Adam alayhi salam and that entire story, Shaitan or Iblis used to actually live in Jannah, in the heavens, with the other angels serving Allah. And there are actually very strong narrations that Shaitan, you know, or Iblis, was a very devout worshiper of God. A very devout worshiper of God. He was always one who had the potential to do evil things, but just like we are. But Shaitan or Iblis was known to be a very vehement worshiper of Allah back in the day, before Prophet Adam alayhi salam was created. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realized that he wanted to create this being called insan, right? Human beings, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates this thing called mankind. And he basically creates Adam alayhi salam. And we all know the story of when he told the angels to bow down to Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And Allah asks Iblis, he says, what prevented you from bowing down to Adam alayhi salam? And he says, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. Literally, he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. This is what kind of like the first, almost like the first documented circumstance of arrogance that ever took place in the history of creation. You know, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. You know, racism, prejudice, arrogance, ignorance, it all started with Shaitan, right? You created me from fire, you created him from clay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is no room for you. There's no room for that behavior here in the heavens, right? In the heavens belong the ones who devoutly, unapologetically, without any hesitation, serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. And so he banished Shaitan from the heavens, and Shaitan actually made a very, very eerie promise to Allah. A very, very eerie promise to Allah, I will say, okay? And this promise to Allah that he makes comes in the actual surah, Surah Al-A'raf, which is the seventh surah in the Quran, and it comes in verse 17. Shaitan, before he leaves the heavens, before he leaves paradise, he looks at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, I will come at them. I will attack them. I will battle them until their deaths. I will come to them from the front and the back. Okay, he says, بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, from the front and from the back. Okay, and he says, وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, from their right and from their left. I will come at them from every angle possible. And he says, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, and you will find most of them ungrateful to you. That was the last thing he said to Allah. That was the last conversation Shaitan had with Allah Azza wa Jal in person before he was banished from paradise. He says, I will come at them, okay? I will bother them. I will try to misguide them. I will attack them even. I will aggressively make it my life goal to distract them from you. I will attack them from the right, from the left, from the front, from the back. And he says, and after I'm done with my work, after I have had my time with them, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will find most of them ungrateful to you. You will find most of them ungrateful. That right there is the goal of shaitan. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaitan's goal is not ultimately to get us to, you know, watch bad things, or get us to not fast, or get us to lose our tempers, or to get us to commit sins necessarily. Shaitan's goal is وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, that you will find most of them to be very ungrateful to you. And subhanAllah, how eerie is that promise? And you know, some of the scholars, they say that Shaitan's promise was so it was so evil that, you know, the methodology that he tries to sway human beings away from Allah with, the methodology that he uses, from being ungrateful to Allah. You know, when you're ungrateful to a human being even, right, you almost cease to acknowledge their existence in your life, right? When you are grateful to someone or something, you're remembering them, right? This is just the way that the domino falls, right? When you're grateful, you remember. When you're ungrateful, you forget. And you forget, when you forget enough, you don't even acknowledge the existence. So when we say that Shaitan wants to guide people away from Allah, from believing in Allah, it's true, 100% it's true, but his goal is gratitude. His goal is to make you lose that gratitude in your life. Because if you lose gratitude, you won't remember him. And when you won't remember him, you won't acknowledge him in your life. And when you don't acknowledge him in your life, you have not a care in the world for the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to live your life. That's it. And Shaitan wins. Have you guys ever thought of this in your own minds and reflected on this? That Iblis, actually, out of all people, out of all beings, forget people, jinn, angels, everybody, he actually knows the authenticity of Allah the best. He knows the authenticity of Allah the best. Why? Why do I say this, guys? Why would Iblis know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 100% real? Anybody? Can anybody reflect with us on this prompt? Why would Iblis of all beings know 100% the validity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence? Why would he? Of everyone, human beings, angels, everyone. Why would he know the most of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reality? Anybody? I want to see if we can kind of like reflect and do some critical thinking here. Why would Iblis be the one that knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists? Why, y'all? Let's see if we can get this. It's a very simple answer, actually. It's a very, very simple answer. So that's why that he distracts from Allah. But why does Iblis know exactly? Exactly. Very good. He was with Allah. He talked to Allah. He spoke to him. He saw him directly. He was literally in the presence of God himself. And he made that promise to him. He's the one that directly communicated with him. SubhanAllah. Imagine, you know, a lot of us kind of, you know, bypass this detail of Islamic history that you know, when Adam was, you know, he was bowed down to by the angels, by the malaika, who was there with him? It was Shaitan, it was Iblis. He was right there. He was literally there in front of Adam alayhi salam, in front of Allah, literally sitting there. And what is his life goal? To make you think that Allah isn't there. That is evil. You know, evil mistakes sometimes happen when, like, you sometimes say something wrong unknowingly, or you make a mistake unknowingly, right? You forget to pray because you forgot that it was Salah time. Or you kind of slipped up in your manners and your etiquettes because your emotions overtook you and you lost control. Iblis truly is Shaitan because he knows the truth. He knows the truth. He knows Allah is there. He's spoken to him directly. He's seen him with his own eyes. He's been in the presence of God himself. And yet he still tries to tell us Allah doesn't exist. Allah's not around. Just let it sink in for a second. Right? That's his goal in life. All right. And so just like Iblis is around, right? There must be some narrations of good jinn. There must be some narrations of good jinn around this as well, right? We talked about how Iblis is obviously a reality, but there are jinn just like the creation of Iblis who are actually Muslim, right? This is true, right? There's actually a surah in the Quran, surah 72, okay? It's almost like towards like the end of the Quran, near to Juz Amma. Surah 72, it's called Surah Al-Jinn, okay? Surah Al-Jinn. And the surah begins with a very beautiful verse. And I'll give you the context of the surah, by the way. So the devils or the shayateen, what we would call them, the shayateen are basically like the evil jinn. Okay, we call them the evil jinn. You know how like sometimes like your grandmother calls you shaitan because she thinks you're shaitan actually? You're like, oh my God, look, the shaitan doesn't even pray anymore, right? Like a human being can also be shaitan, right? And that's actually true because actually in Surah An-Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri nas minal jinnati wan nas." Minal jinnati wan nas. Allah says, from the evil of the whisperer when he or she envies, minal jinnati wan nas, from the evil of the jinn and the people. So people can also be shayateen, and we know of this for sure, right? I mean, if you don't believe me, just watch your parents watch the news, right? This person's shaitan, right? That person's shaitan. This leader here is shaitan. The president is shaitan. I can guarantee you this guy is shaitan. His red hair means that he's made out of fire. This guy's clearly shaitan, right? So we know human beings actually also have shaitanic tendencies at times, right? Oppressive, rude, racist, arrogant, ignorant people can also be categorized as having shaitanic traits. So people can also be described as shayateen. So just like they're evil shayateen, they're also good jinn as well, right? And so who are the good jinn? In Surah Al-Jinn, the Prophet ﷺ one time was reading Quran while he was traveling. Okay, he was reading Quran while he was traveling with his companions on a caravan, on a trip. And he stopped to pray out in the desert. He stopped to pray out in the desert. And he began reciting Quran. And it is narrated that a group of jinn, of evil jinn, you could actually categorize them as the shayateen, because what they used to do before the Quran came down is that they used to go up to the skies, to the samawat, and they tried to like basically infiltrate or almost hear the plans of Allah and the angels speaking, right? They used to go up to the samawat and they used to eavesdrop. You know, where you've heard the narrations of like the shooting stars in the sky or like the comets basically harming the jinn. That's actually a reality. So the jinn, the evil jinn, the shayateen, they used to actually go up to the skies and lay their ears up to the samawat, and they tried to listen to the conversations of the angels. And when you hear about like, you know, witchcraft and fortune telling and all these different aspects of just very, very, very bizarre behavior, it's called ajib, right? We call it ajib behavior that some human beings partake in, right? Involving themselves in sorcery and black magic and witchcraft and all these different things, putting curses on people and jealousy this and hasad that and nazar this. And we hear about all this, and this stuff is actually very true. And one of the ways that people used to actually fulfill their sorcery or their witchcraft was they used to ask the jinn, the shayateen, to go up and listen to Allah and the angels planning qadr, right? What is somebody's destination? What are they going to do tomorrow? Are they going to be in point A or point B? When are they going to have a child? When are they going to do this? When are they going to get married? And so the jinn, they used to climb the skies, the samawat, and listen to the angels talking to Allah about these things. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the Quran and he began to recite the Quran was a mode of protection from this. And so the jinn were turned away from listening to the angels in the samawat. And so a group of jinn, they stumbled upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the desert while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting Quran. He was reciting Quran and he was praying to Allah. And in the surah, in Surah Al-Jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he recalls this event and he says, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Okay, قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that it has been revealed to you that a group of jinn listened to you reciting Quran and they said, Inna sami'na Quranan ajaba. And that translates out to, indeed, we have heard of an amazing Quran. Okay? Inna sami'na Quranan ajaba. The word ajaba actually comes from the word ajib, which means strange. Very, very like awe-inspiring. Just very, very interesting, right? It kind of like captures your attention. Quran and ajaba. So these jinn, they listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they listen to him reciting the Quran. And sometimes Quran is all people need. You know, we've heard stories about this, by the way, y'all, right? People who are struggling with life and struggling with spirituality, struggling with faith, they listen to the Quran and it hits them really hard. They listen to the Quran and it hits them really hard. So this group of jinn, they hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting Quran. They hear him and they describe it, inna sami'ana Quranan ajaba. We've heard something very beautiful. And they go back to their own tribe, the jinn. They go back to their own tribe, their own community, and they say to them, yahdi ila rushdi, yahdi ila rushdi, fa amanna bihi walan tusrika bi rabbina ahada. He said, they say it guides to the right path, the right course, and we have believed in it. We have believed in it. Fa amanna bihi, and we will never associate with our Lord anyone. And then a little bit later, in the surah, this is fascinating, y'all. If you guys have time, go read Surah Al-Jin. It's Surah 72. Now, I'll tell you guys about Surah 72, verse 4 here. This is super interesting. It says here, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا. This is like spine tingling, y'all, bone chilling. They say to their people, the jinn say to their other jinn in their community, they say, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا. And that our foolish one, the foolish one from us, has been saying about Allah an excessive lie and transgression. Who's the foolish one they're talking about? They say, the foolish one from us, our foolish one, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا right? عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطَ. Who's the foolish one from the jinn? They finally figured it out. When they heard the Prophet reciting Quran, they're like, yo, our own dude's been lying to us the entire time. Who's their own guy? Who is it, y'all? Who's a jinn just like them that's been lying to them their entire lives? Who is it? Shaitan. Shaitan. They're like, dude, you're like us. And you lied to us about Allah? You kept on telling us that He doesn't exist? You kept on telling us that He's not God? How could you lie to us like that? And they testify that literally our own one has been lying to us. Subhanallah, right? So the jinn can also be of good nature as well. They can also worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. They can also read the Quran as well. Because the jinn, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Dariyat, you know, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created mankind and jinn to worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have included the jinn in that statement if it wasn't meant for them to worship Him. But you know, the jinn, just like us, are actually meant to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How incredible is that, right? How incredible is that? So there are also good jinn along with the evil like shaitan and the other shayateen that exists, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah allow us to always be a people who are on the right path and far away from the wrongdoings and the wrong sayings of the evil shayateen. And so how can we protect ourselves? How can we protect ourselves from the evilness of jinn, mankind, of any sort of shayateen that exists on this earth today? Number one is understand the reality of their creation. Understand the reality of their creation. When you know the reality of a certain creation, you are more fitted to be protected from them. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? When you don't know of someone or someone's existence or their characteristics, you won't know how to protect yourself from them, right? You know people who have a bad reputation, right? Hey, I know that you've struggled with a certain thing, so I'm not going to dive into that specific category with you because I know you struggle with it. Right? So knowing the jinn or knowing of them, being aware of their existence is actually in a way protection for you alone, that you know they exist. And so that's the first step in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from the evil from their kind, right? And the most simple way to protect yourself, guys, the most simple way, it's in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'll maximize it here for the people on Facebook, that the best way to protect yourself from the evil of shayateen, from the evil of mankind, is number one, there's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where it says here that the best way is to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas and Al-Mu'awwidhatayn. Surah Al-Ikhlas and Al-Mu'awwidhatayn. Surah Al-Ikhlas is the surah that talks about the oneness of Allah, and the Al-Mu'awwidhatayn is actually Surah An-Nas and Surah Al-Falaq. Al-Mu'awwidhatayn actually is their nickname. Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas' nickname is Al-Mu'awwidhatayn because it means the two that we seek protection in. Surah Al-Nas and Surah Al-Falaq. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says that if you recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Nas and Surah Al-Falaq, one time in the dawn and one time at dusk, it will suffice you in all respects. It will take care of you in all respects of your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. There's narration actually from Sayyidina Aisha where she said that whenever the Prophet ﷺ used to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Nas, Surah Al-Falaq, that he would actually wipe over himself and his entire body to basically gain the barakah and the blessings of those surahs, because those surahs protect you from evil. Those surahs protect you from any sort of harm. Now, does that mean a good person cannot have bad things happen to them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It does not mean that a good person will be protected their entire life. It means that their good person will be completely sheltered their entire life. That's not true. If that was true, the prophets of Allah would never have gone through any of the trials and tribulations that they went through, right? We don't believe that piety or righteousness means that you are completely trial and challenge free. But what it does mean is that you're more equipped to handle when things happen to you. You're more equipped to handle when challenge and struggle befall you, right? And if you think about this, equate this to like an athlete, right? An athlete who does not work out, who does not go to training camp, who does not practice with his team, cannot expect to go on game day, be challenged by another team, and do well. They may have the athletic ability. They may have the genetic ability to do really well in that sport. But without the proper training, without the proper mindset, an athlete will not be able to compete on game day. The same thing works with human beings and people who call themselves believers. We may be good. We may believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is the best way to protect ourselves is to constantly be in the remembrance of Allah. Constantly work on your spirituality. Constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. And be in constant communication and have a strong relationship with Allah. And if you have that, even when you do get hit, when you do get hit and life hits you really hard, sometimes shaitan will bother you. Sometimes shaitan will get the better of you. You will get back up and you'll say, I'm moving on because I trained for this. I trained for this. I'm ready for this. Even though shaitan might hit me, I can hit right back and I can hit harder than he can. That is the true meaning of being a believer, is that you get knocked down, you get back up and you go twice as hard. You get knocked down, you get back up and you continue on with your life. A person who is not prepared and doesn't go to their training camp cannot do something like that, because we're not going to be prepared enough to do so. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be people who do our homework and train in order to be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, his love, his remembrance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evils of the shayateen and of mankind. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward every single one of you guys. And may Allah azza wa jal protect us all at the end of the day. Ameen rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. There's a short announcement really quickly, everybody, and this is going to be like lights up and, you know, eyes going wide. Inshallah ta'ala, this coming Thursday, Thursdays we host our weekly conversation of soul food. Myself and Ustada Fatima, we get together and host a lesson, a session for our college-aged community members here in the DFW. And inshallah, this coming Thursday, we are back in person at the old Valley Ranch Community Center. I'm sure you guys have kept up with how Ustad Abdurrahman does his heartwork programs. They're live now for the past 2-3 weeks. Inshallah, our college demographic will be going back in person this coming Thursday, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We're so excited to see you guys in person this coming Thursday. Anyone who can make it out on Thursday, please, I would personally love to see you guys. I would love to give you my salam in person, obviously behind a mask and taking protocol for sure. But, you know, seeing somebody in person, seeing our community members in person is a whole different ballgame than obviously seeing a screen. So may Allah ta'ala allow us to see each other this coming Thursday for soul food. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you guys and accept from all of us. Ameen rabbil alameen. Wa jazakumullahu khairan, y'all. I appreciate every single one of you guys. And we will see you on Wednesday for the next session of the 5 series. By the way, this is all being turned into a podcast. So if you missed any of these sessions, you can easily go on the Instagram IGTV playlist, or you can go on the Facebook playlist, or now on Spotify. If you go and look up Qalam Institute on Spotify or on Apple iTunes, you can find the series on that channel, inshallah. All right, guys. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.